Welcome to the Gulf of Mexico Blue Plague Update with Living Light Network host Michael Edward, who reminds us all, wherever the Gulf wind blows and the Gulf water flows. And here's Michael with the latest Gulf update.
Well, thank you for joining us for another Friday Gulf of Mexico Blue Plague Update. I always try to approach everything that comes up with the Gulf, and it's bad enough that we have lots of toxins, and that's bacterial and chemical toxins to deal with, and health issues, and the lies from BP, and all the good things that we get to deal with here along the coast. Something that I really wasn't a whole lot aware of is what today's subject is about. I've been educated somewhat in the past few days, but I found out there were people who've been warning of a possibility of a certain product that's been touted along the Gulf Coast as being a cure, basically, for toxicity and other things. And like I said, I've been learning a lot in the past couple days, but it was way beyond what I could really talk about and have the knowledge to do it. So we're talking about a product that's called Miracle Mineral Solution. It's also known as Master Miracle Solution or Mineral Solution and Advanced Oxygen Therapy. That's basically the three names that it goes by, and it's something that's being offered as a way to detox from Corexit. It's also been touted as basically from everything that I've read on their internet sites and everywhere else that it's offered, basically a cure for anything. It's pretty much what they're saying. So I wanted to find out what it is, how it works, the chemical properties of it, if there are any. Again, I'm not qualified to speak on it, but there's I do have kind of a co-host and co-moderator who has been really digging into this since this past December, and that's Delia. She is the one who really brought this to my attention in the first place. So I want to thank you, Delia. You're on, and I want to thank you so much for bringing this up. And it's a subject that nobody seems to want to discuss, but you were very open with it and sent me lots of information, and that's the reason I kind of put this show together with very short notice and got not just you, but we've got Dr. Mark Circus and Dr. Gabriela Segura. And we're going to have Dr. Janet Hall. And then in the second hour, we'll also have Dr. Hildegard Staninger. And I think I've put together some pretty darn good experts. What do you think?
Michael, I think you're doing a wonderful job on all these programs. They're just extraordinary. And I love the way you do bring in experts. And if I could just take a moment to thank you for inviting me to help you with this. And if I just explain very briefly what Gulf Coast Barefoot Doctors is, if for those who don't know, we're work under the direction of experts. So we've taken an oath to be even, you know, to take that Hippocratic oath where we are not harmful. We do no harm, and we have to be so much more careful. Therefore, from the very beginning, we've only suggested that people do things that are safe and that it's things that are deemed safe by medical professionals, actual alternative health professionals, and toxicologists. So, and what you've been doing is the same thing of getting information out to people that so that people can take care of themselves and even be their own doctor, if you will, because so many of us don't have access to health care by medical professionals.
No,
so
what
you're doing is extraordinary. Well,
I don't have a fancy insurance policy for health insurance. I haven't had health insurance, I think, since 1986. Well, besides,
A lot of us, a lot of people are actually better off without it. They don't realize it, but I was reading something by Dr. Batman Galej, and someone told him that he had the best insurance in the world, and it almost killed him, because if he had gone the route in treating his cancer, he thinks he wouldn't have even been alive. So, you know, there's so much to that in the natural health, and that all of your guests are have been talking about, of how people can take care of themselves and do real preventive health care for themselves and their own family.
Delia, we're kind of limited on time.
Yes,
with Dr.
I know.
Mark.
Yes, thank you.
Okay,
yeah.
So let me get them on. We've got Dr. Mark Cirkus, who just go ahead and read what we've got on the chat. Chat. I'll be all right. And also I've got Dr. Gabriela Segura on here calling from France. So this is one of these great international programs. Dr. Mark is sitting down in Brazil, and we've got Dr. Gabi in France. So thank you both of you for joining on this. Marlo?
I'm down here. It's a holiday weekend here, so there's partying all over the place and fireworks, and so once in a while you're going to hear something.
All right. Well, if it's a good firework, Dr. Gabi, appreciate you taking your Friday evening and calling us again.
Hello. Thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here tonight. I mean, in the evening, it's night here in France.
as Delia had shown me, and I was counting a lot on information that she's given me, especially in the past few days. But Dr. Mark, I had put your article about this miracle mineral solution that you did in your newsletter, which I am a subscriber, back in March. I put that on my own site. And Dr. Gabrielli, the same with you. I didn't know that both of you, until about that time, even had written any of this. So if you would, we'll start with you, Dr. Mark. Give us kind of like a general idea. What is Miracle Mineral Solution? You know, a lot of people that are listening, and I want to remind everybody about that, have no idea. And there are some that are listening who think it really is a miracle and maybe need to be told what it's all about, and there are some who basically have no idea. So give us a little general synopsis, and as soon as you're done, Rob, I'm going to ask you to do the same thing. What is Miracle Mineral Solution, or as they put it around the Gulf now, advanced oxygen therapy?
Well, first of all, I'm not sure we're going to be talking about medicine or religion, because MMS is almost like a medical religion. People who subscribe to it are very religious about it, very fanatical about it. So when people like myself or Gabi speak out anything about anything counterindication to using this, we get into trouble. I mean, so fortunately, I'm in Brazil, so nobody can do any witch burning down here. It's very difficult to get here. But anyway, my introduction to it was probably about 5 years ago, and I read Humboldt's book, and I had trouble with his book in that he makes incredible claims, but never substantiates those claims. So people, you know, still talking on the religious side, many people say many fantastic things about MMS, and some people I believe. I mean, people do have some good experiences with it. My essay was on the dangers of it, meaning anything that you're going to take, any kind of medicine or anything that has any toxicity at all, there's always some counterindications. There's always some reason to be careful with it. But these people who are into MMS are not into being careful. They're into being religious. So that's kind of the background of the subject. My position is that, and I've used it, I have friends, I have a doctor, friend in New York and Moscow who uses it transdermally with a DMSO. I have a friend in South Africa who includes it in her IVs and uses it successfully for cancer patients and AIDS patients. And so I've always been a little bit pressured to, you know, keep a foot on both sides of the fence and keep an open mind. And I have used it. This doctor from Moscow who published my magnesium book in Moscow in Russian flew here with his girlfriend and handed me the book and brought me some bottles of MMS with malic acid. He mixes it with malic acid. And I've tried to use it and keep a positive mind about it, and I put it in between my toes to try to control fungus, and it works. I mean, on a topical level, it works a little bit. For a while, I didn't want to be without it. But in the end, sodium bicarbonate did the job much, much better in getting rid of the fungus in between my toes than the MMS, which was a surprise to me, but that was the case. I was struggling for months using the MMS, and it just wouldn't get rid of the problem. It would weaken the fungus, but it wouldn't kill it. The bottom line for me, before we go on, is that, and I had a bottle here for a few years, never opened it, and then this doctor from Moscow brought it. Just smelling this stuff, I could never imagine drinking it. And I'm not saying you can't drink it, and I'm not trying to give a testimony that this is something really bad stuff and you should stay away and these people are totally crazy. I don't want to take a radical position, but I personally would never drink the stuff. Just to smell it would knock you off your chair. Anything you can smell like that is toxic.
What does it smell like, Dr. Mark?
It's chlorine, pure chlorine.
Swimming pool.
Chlorine. It's terrible. Gabby, you want to help me out a little bit here?
Yeah, well, I want to explain a little bit of where I'm coming from. Why did I decide to write an article, a warning article about MMS? Basically, the reason is because a very close friend of mine nearly died after taking MMS. She was in Europe, here in France at the time, and I was in Costa Rica. So, unfortunately, I was helpless to help her, you know, at that time. But I was talking about her symptoms. She was basically lying in a comatose state, and the local doctor didn't have a clue of what was happening. Her belly was the size of a 7 or 8 month, pregnant woman, but she was not pregnant. And the doctor ordered some liver function tests and told the family basically to call him back if she didn't improve. But she was lying there in the bed, looking like she was going to die at any moment. The liver function tests were normal, and but her belly kept swelling and swelling and getting more swollen. All the glands in her face, like the glands, the salivary glands, the parotid glands, were also inflamed. And she had some symptoms also of pancreatitis, which is an inflammation of the pancreas, yeah. Mm-hmm. And, so mainstream medicine locally was not, helping. So the family decided to take things in their hands, and they gave her very high doses of vitamin C, which is basically, vitamin C is a contraindication in the MMS protocol,
Okay, explain what that means, a contraindication.
Because...
I know you're a doctor. I'm just trying to simplify
no,
things
no, no.
for the average person, because, those are fancy words for a lot of people. So
that's the first
try to
question.
Explain like you do so well, because I've had you on before, and you do explain things so well. So contraindication, vitamin C means what?
Because... basically, the nature of the MMS protocol is it's an oxygen therapy, as they call it, is to oxidize. And if vitamin C is an antioxidant, well, it doesn't really then, it doesn't really go along with vitamin C then. It will neutralize its effect, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And vitamin C, we have talked about it this before, is one of the main antioxidants of our body that we need to detoxify, to stay healthy, to have healthy tissues. So, well, right there was the first clue that she needed, like, mega doses of vitamin C to recover from what has happened to her after taking MMS. That was really telling. And vitamin C saved her life. Then, when I came back to Europe, I was very surprised to see the type of her belly. You know, I really had a hard time imagining it. How can she look like 8 months, you know, pregnant if she's not, you know? And then I realized that she had what we call ascites, which is an accumulation of water, of liquid in the abdomen, in the belly. So it makes you look like, you know, your tummy is going to burst, so to speak. And this is very typical of people who have liver failure. You know, if you see a person that got a liver problem because of drinking too much alcohol, you'll notice that some of them have, you know, other than being yellow, they have a very big belly. So that was extremely strange because her liver function tests were normal. That means her liver was functioning as it should be. So we did more digging, and I was able to determine that she had a very abnormal type of inflammation in the pancreas, and that there was damage also in the ducts that belong to the liver and the pancreas, and all her digestive glands, including the pancreas, the salivary glands, the liver, and they all suffered. And it has taken her almost 2 years to recover from that incident.
Wow.
She had to go on a special diet to rest her pancreas, her liver, take digestive enzymes to help, you know, digest her food. She did the far infrared saunas to detoxify. She kept taking antioxidants, you know, vitamin C, nutritional supplementation, like, you know, vitamin E, alpha lipoic acid, all these supplements that are considered like good nutrition. She had to take, you know, a low dose of cortisone as a support for her adrenal glands. You know, cortisone is our stress hormone, and those she took was like physiological levels, just enough to keep her glands, you know, rested. And she kept having this accumulation of liquid in her belly until, like, you know, after a year, it finally, you know, got better. But she still, to this day, has to be very careful with what she eats. She has to read labels very carefully to not, you know, take anything toxic. And, well, basically, that's why I started to research about MMS. That's the last subject I ever thought I was going to research about, but there I was, you know, reading all about it. What on earth did it do to my friend? I mean, this is, we're talking about a disease that it's so weird in medical literature that I hardly found anything on the web. I have to go to a library and dig about it and see experiences of other centers who have dealt with it. It's a very strange disease.
Now, Dr. Gobbi, just for people who don't know, you're a medical doctor. You're a licensed physician, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, I am actually a heart surgeon, so that I ended up doing this kind of research because I didn't saw around me, like, you know, I saw around me the need for this kind of research. You know, it's very telling, too, like, from being a surgeon to a natural health researcher.
Well, I'm sure that you saw that there was a need for it. Just like you said, you went to go look in the books, so to speak, that you were taught with as a medical doctor, and you're not finding anything about the particular chemical that is a result of these two different things with Miracle Mineral Solution. Dr. Mark, if you would explain your background as well, because I'm sure there's going to be a lot of skeptics that are going to say that perhaps I stack the deck, so to speak, with people who are not qualified. So I want to establish that right now as well. You have an extensive background, just like Dr. Gobbi. She's from Costa Rica, went to Spain, Italy, has practiced, learned to be a heart surgeon. She's in France now. Dr. Mark, give us a little background.
Well, I'm from New York. My accent's still there.
Really?
Nice accent.
But I've been down here in Brazil for 20 years now. and I haven't been back to the States in now 16 and a half years, and I'll leave it that way for the rest of my life. And my training, background training, was in Chinese medicine. I was one of the first nationally certified acupuncturists. Went on to become a doctor of Oriental medicine, and now just recently I'm now a doctor of pastoral medicine. So I can do marriages also at the same time. I treat people.
Wonderful. You can treat them and marry them.
Marry them, right. And my research ended up having me create a medical organization called the International Medical Veritas Association. Veritas is Latin for truth, so I dedicated myself to medical truth about 8 years ago when I stumbled, after my third son was born, on the whole vaccine question. I wrote two books about vaccines. One was called Cry of the Heart, and then The Terror of Pediatric Medicine. So I took a very hard stand. And through studying vaccines and then the name of the book, first book, Cry of the Heart, I named it that way because every day I was working on the book, I was talking to a parent who had either lost their child from vaccines or had neurological damages like an autism, and I literally cried, and it was terrible. And that brought me to the world of chelation and getting rid of heavy metals. Since vaccines, they inject, you know, things like mercury into you and aluminum and a lot of other nasty things. And I developed a new form of medicine called natural allopathic medicine, which is really a oxymoron. Normally, natural and allopathic are words that don't go together because everybody is identified with the pharmaceutical aspect of allopathic medicine, which are all fabricated synthetic poisons that you use at low dosages. The whole edifice of Western medicine is built on the dose makes the poison, which is something that comes from 500 years ago, and meaning that you take something that's poisonous and you give it a little enough dose of it, then maybe you get a positive effect. But certainly at low, low dosages, you don't kill the person so quickly. So it's a science of giving low enough dosages where you get some effect, but you don't have too many side effects. My form of medicine, natural allopathic, I call it allopathic because it's based on Western medicine, Western medical science. And what I basically did was I stole, and people don't like always using me, I use that word stole, but I stole basically into the emergency rooms around the world and the intensive care wards, and I stole their best medicines. What are their best medicines? They're not pharmaceuticals. They are natural. The two or three that I think about is iodine, sodium bicarbonate, which is baking soda, which they inject to save people's life in a heartbeat, and magnesium sulfate or magnesium chloride, which, again, if you're having a stroke or a heart attack and they inject magnesium into you, they say either you'll have no damage from the stroke or they save your life in a heartbeat and brings you back right back. These are nutritional medicines. They're not pharmaceuticals. And very different, and then there's a real point I'm going to make because this is where we bring MMS in. These things are the exact opposite of allopathic medicine. First, they're natural. God makes them. They're just, and because, like water, because they're natural things, or vitamin C, things that the body needs, they're not toxic. Though, these people are so kind of mentally deranged, these medical scientists from the government, that they'll define water as a poison just to make their point, just so they stay safe. And of course, yes, water is a poison. You can drown in it. You can drown in a bucket of it, but that doesn't make it a poison. And these things like iodine or magnesium and sodium bicarbonate, instead of taking little dosages to control the poisonous effects, in my approach to medicine, you take very high dosages of something that's very healthy, and then it has incredible effect. Mm-hmm. MMS kind of falls a little bit in the cracks. It comes from the public, meaning it's has this religious fervor that people promote, you know, the grassroots type of thing, and supposedly, and it's not so expensive, and so it's a good thing, and but it's not natural. It is a toxic. It's a toxin.
It's essentially chlorine. Yeah. It's essentially bleach.
Yeah. Now, I'm not saying that bleach cannot have a, you cannot use a bleach type of product, and for a good medical reason. But it's still not a natural thing, and meaning it has a very strong side effect. It can kill you, even though we can say water can kill you, but this, you can, and the Jim Humble, he's, through the years, has decreased the dosages because he's seen how it does have side effects.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't take any dose, and if you take too high of a dose, you're in danger. Now, some people...
You're
some
talking
people
about
like
internal doses, okay? And
yeah,
before
internal
you were
doses.
Talking about fungus on your feet, which was external, it was dermal. So
correct,
now,
correct.
Now you're talking about the guidelines that Jim Humble, who supposedly invented or came up with the Miracle Mineral Solution, just as background, because, again, people don't know.
So it's dangerous to take for anybody. I mean, like any drug is has some sort of danger. This one, when you're not dealing directly with either a doctor or a chiropractor, an acupuncturist, or anybody trained in the healing or medical arts or has some experience, and people just take it and start drinking it, some people, it's going to really cause a problem because it is more dangerous. It's not like vitamin C. It's not like water. It's not like magnesium. And it's certainly not like iodine. Though iodine will do many of the things that the MMS people claim their thing is. The bottom line for this show and for people in the Gulf, the last people, and this I have no fear of taking this position, the last thing I would suggest to people who live in the Gulf who have been exposed to tremendous toxicity, I mean, not only from the Gulf oil disaster, but the Gulf also is a very polluted area, especially with mercury. There's an incredible amount of mercury in the air and the water and the food everywhere because of oil, all the coal fire plants in the southern United States. And So people are toxic. And then the Gulf oil came and got more toxic, and then the government made it more toxic, or BP, by putting in the dispersants. So the last thing you need when you're toxic is more toxins.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. So MMS, there are other... Now, you can take some of the things that they say it does, and maybe it does do, even though it's a little more risky. There's certain other substances you can take that do the same thing and do it much safer because you need those things anyway. And that's been my other position about MMS for about 5 years or 4 years, is that for everything they recommend MMS for, before you ever open up a bottle of MMS, you'd be taking iodine. Iodine would be something you need anyway, that you're deficient in. 95% of Americans are supposedly deficient in iodine. Now that the radiation's coming from Japan, we need iodine more desperately. It kills viruses, bacteria, fungus, and mold, and bacteria. So why would you take MMS, has a toxic side, when you could take iodine, which is something you desperately need anyway, which will do the same things? So my recommendation would not be to take MMS and build a protocol around other things that are more effective, have some of the same pharmaceutical profiles, and are much safer.
Well, Dr. Mark, your book, Transdermal Magnesium Therapy, which I have a copy right here that my wife and I have read twice now, really opened my eyes on here's something that everybody needs that nobody gets, and it's a natural thing. I would say without a doubt, you definitely look into to what's right there in front of our eyes and make sure that we understand about it. And that includes the iodine, which now I'm and my whole family, because of the radiation problem and such, that we're all on nascent 2% iodine, which is mild enough for an infant to take. And in fact, I've got a granddaughter who is taking it. So I thank you for your practical and very common sense approach to things. And you've taught me a lot, and there's my personal thing right there. Delia has a couple of questions that we kind of put together. And I, Delia, first, I want you to explain to all the listeners exactly what is Miracle Mineral Solution or Advanced Oxygen Therapy or Master Miracle Solution, whatever they're going to call it. What is it? What are these two things that you add together to make these drops that they take internally? And then please ask Dr. Mark and Dr. Gabi the questions that you had.
Okay. Well, actually, I think it would be better for Dr. Gabi to explain that, because she certainly understands it a lot better than I do, and to explain the chemical process of adding the citric acid to the sodium chloride. What I wanted to ask, though, and Dr. Mark, hi. Thank you. Dr. Mark has been a big inspiration for Gulf Coast Barefoot Doctors, by the way, from the very beginning with his wonderful recommendations. What I want to ask, because we covered some of this, we addressed this a little bit in the Google group where we discussed some of the protocols that you recommended, Dr. Mark, but I'm taking this from what the person who is down on the Gulf Coast now, who has promoted MMS under, he relabeled it as oxygen, advanced oxygen therapy after,
yes,
the FDA issued its warning. Well, we talked a little bit about the homeopathic so-called remedy by some people who were saying that a tiny amount of some of the same toxins that people were exposed to down here would boost their immune system and help them heal, help them detox. And so that question was posed, and I'm hearing this person who is promoting AOT, he's defended his product in much the same way. He claims that MMS AOT boosts the chelating ability of the body and puts it in detox mode and then boosts the immune system. So for me, being a non-scientist and without a medical background, it never made sense. None of that made sense, because we know that people's immune systems are getting degraded, and they're losing the ability to fight off, you know, they're losing their natural detox immune system. So could you address that a little bit about why does that make sense or not?
No, it makes no sense at all. Ask him to prove it. Mm-hmm. Now, this is why I say I'm not sure we're going to be talking medicine tonight or religion. It's very easy for anybody to say anything. But how do you, prove it? We do, when you make recommendations in public, whether it be in a book or my newsletters or on a radio show, or when you, anybody's treating anybody for anything, I'm not against religion or faith healing or laying on the hands and Reiki and many beautiful things, but to say, here, take this poison or take this thing and this is what it's going to do for you. It's going to do this, this, and this, and a miracle at the same time. Mm-hmm. That's very nice. Prove it. Tell me. Show me. We're talking medicine. We're talking health. Where's your proof? Where's your evidence? Jim Hump. Well, there's 100,000 people who have taken it and been cured from malaria. Oh, really? Where's your proof? Where are these patients? Where are these clinics and hospitals that did this? This is the reason I never, I almost brought the MMS into my protocol, maybe in the priority level number 20. They found many, many things that are much better. But in the end, I've always stayed away from it. And only have people's testimony, and yes, I do like to trust people's testimonies, what people say. I do like to do that, and I do that. But when you take something like a product like MMS, and you take a population like the Gulf oil, the Gulf people living along the Gulf, and then you have some guy makes a product and walks around and says it does this, and this. Thank you very much, but I think I would rather trust Obama first. And if you understand my background in saying something like that, so no, I don't buy these things, these claims, and certainly for public utterance,
I'm sorry, Mark. you were done. Dr. Dobby, first part of the question from Delia, what exactly is MMS? You have these two bottles. One is citric acid that I know of. What's this combination? What does it make?
Essentially, they take what is called sodium chlorate, and they acidify it with vinegar or, acetic acid or citric acid. And it becomes what is called chlorine dioxide, where you can think of it as oxygenated chlorine, so to speak, which is a compound that is reactive. It's with meaning that it's unstable, and it's gonna want to stabilize itself by borrowing, from the neighbor, so to speak. I'm trying to make analogies so it won't be tedious, and. They're going to borrow then a stabilizing compound from its neighbor, but the neighbor then will become unstable, so it will want to borrow another, compound from its other neighbor to stabilize itself. What I'm trying to explain basically is that it's free radicals are formed. I think most people have heard of free radicals in the terms of it's very important to take antioxidants because free radicals create damage in our body. It creates oxidative stress, which is basically like a synonym could be inflammation. And, it's claimed that because it's chlorine dioxide, it's free radicals. It's so reactive with compounds found in microbes, in bugs, that it will kill them. Well, it does, but the compounds that it reacts to, it's the same compounds that are found also in our body. For example, sulfur-rich compounds like certain amino acids, thiols. For example, it might be familiar to listeners and to you, these sulfur-rich compounds or antioxidants that the MMS will react to are very important for detox purposes. For example, alpha-lipoic acid is one example. Remember, we talked about DMSO and also NAC, but it's basically like sulfur being very important for detoxification in our body. And that's one of the things that, that the MMS will react to and damage. And this is something even I took from a study of somebody who endorses MMS. So
really?
Yeah. And that's a very, I think that is very telling because here, at least for people in the Gulf Coast, the root of the problem is that they have a toxicity problem, a toxic body, which then compromises their immune system. And then that's why they cannot deal effectively with organisms or bugs or any kind of toxicity that matter, but they usually, under normal circumstances, they should be able to. Like, for example, some of the bugs that even these engineered eating oil bugs, it's found in the bodies of people who are typically compromised. Their immune system is compromised. And a person who with normal defenses should be able to deal with it. So a person with a toxic load is susceptible of getting infected by all kinds of microorganisms, normal, you know, atypical ones, but normal ones, and they can have recurrent and chronic infections. And, well, they get chronically stressed and their senses are lowered. But, you know, my point is, like Mark said, that MMS is not really a natural treatment. I will even talk about an analogy of an antibiotic or chemotherapy, because, okay, it kills the bugs, but it also creates damage to the rest of the body. Even if it's taken as a subclinical dose of a poison, it still will act cumulatively, and, you know, and some people who are genetically predisposed or who have a toxic burden can get sick immediately, like my friend did. But actually, my friend, she was in her 20s, and she was actually healthy, so it was very interesting to see that she reacted the way she did to this to the MMS. And basically, you know, you treat the natural approach is strengthening your body, removing the toxins. That's the root of the problem, you know, the toxic pollution. You remove that from your body, you strengthen your body with natural treatments, with nutrition, with a proper diet, and that is the healthy and the natural way of healing. It's yes?
Excuse me, I thought you were finished. I wanted to ask you something, and first of all, I'd just like to tell our listeners that Dr. Gabi was our Christmas present on the Gulf Coast, because we got in touch with her, excuse me, when we found out that people were taking this in the Gulf Coast and people were getting sick, and we were very concerned, and so we found her wonderful article, MMS, Miracle or Trojan Horse, and we contacted her, and this was on Christmas Eve, she responded immediately, and we were corresponding with her from Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and beyond. So I was just so thrilled when she wrote back immediately, because we felt like, you know, we're not alone in this, that she had written this wonderful article. And in this article, Dr. Gabi, there's this wonderful line. It says, oxidation is the most toxic force affecting all the molecules of the body. It's the enemy of youth, the ally of all diseases, and the fundamental mechanism of all injury, all aging, and eventually of death.
Yeah.
Yeah, that really sums it up. But that there is a question for us non-scientists, where in the confusion in the beginning, before we understood that this weed labeled MMS was called advanced oxygen therapy, there are a lot of people who are doing research, and this one person in particular, really smart, Heather Dixie, she's the one who figured out that this advanced oxygen therapy was the same thing as MMS, but she was very interested in what people were saying about that our body needs oxygen, and what was being confused is, the difference between oxygenation in the blood and oxidation.
Yeah, there's a...
seems that that's a lot of confusion there, so... Would you explain that more, the difference in just what oxidation does?
Yeah, there's a subtlety, and there are, you know, specificities in the biochemical pathways. That's why I didn't want to use necessarily the word oxidation, but I ended up using it anyway. But because oxygenation, it's oxygenation of the blood in order to... I'm in a friend here trying to talk to me. Oxygenation of the blood is related with our red blood cells delivering oxygen to our tissues. And basically, it's we use it to extract energy for living. But the problem is with oxidation is that, you know, it can have byproducts that can damage your body. But our body is keeps that in check with other chemicals that go into the rescue, so to speak. So it's a like a balance of oxidation and antioxidation, so our body can extract the proper energy but also keep the damage in check. Does that make any sense?
Yes. So
you're saying this chlorine dioxide, which is what this mixture of MMS and the citric acid or vinegar or whatever, is actually an oxidizer. Would that be correct?
Yes, that is correct. And that's why probably they renamed it, you know, advanced oxygen therapy.
Uh-huh.
And the thing of oxidation is the free radicals. That was basically my main point of having unstable byproducts of a compound, that they claim they know exactly what it does in the body, and that's not really the chlorine the problem. You only get all the benefits of oxygen without the side effects, you know, of the chlorine. But, mm-hmm. you know, on the other hand, there are other researchers that, you know, don't endorse MMS, but they are researchers for the purpose of chlorinating water. And they claim that the byproducts are very unpredictable, and that there's really no way to tell, you know, which way it's going to go, so to speak. So I think that's a very important point, because if we're talking about compounds that can react with those detox pathways of your body and compromise them, then you're going to have a problem. If you're exposed to toxicity, and you will not be able to detoxify properly, you know, you're gonna have a problem sooner or later. I'm not talking here necessarily about immediate problems. You know, everybody's different, genetic susceptibilities or previous exposures to toxins, or the diet they have, or the stress, emotional stress that they're exposed to. You know, some people, even experiences from the past of the accidental deaths. You know, I remember Ricky Ott saying that the average, you know, people were getting sick after 10 years. And I remember that because, you know, I realized people in the Gulf Coast are getting sick much, you know, much, much earlier, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so that tells a lot about the level of toxicity and the level that we're compromised of having, you know, so much stress from living all in this world. And the other interesting thing about the oxidizing capabilities of MMS is because certain organs are, you know, they crave a lot of oxygen. For example, our brains, you know, they need a lot of oxygen. And I have a friend who is a neuroscientist in the U.S. And in the early days, she wrote, and I regret not paying attention more to what she wrote. She said that, okay, and that she never took MMS. And one was the reason of knowing the active ingredient, which is chlorine dioxide. She knew of someone who was very ill and that took MMS. And you know, the person improved, but months afterwards, the illness returned and in a more aggressive way. Mm. And well, she said that it was probably the MMS, and well, that never went anywhere. But her distrust increased when she read a journal article where it says that the brain connections and you know, were decreased in people who took the active ingredient of MMS.
Mm.
Not actually in people, sorry. It was this was an animal experiment, but, you know, it's still, you know, very telling. It's to the point that the Environmental Protection Agency has included the active ingredient of MMS in their list as, you know, as having the strongest evidence of developing brain damage.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah. And Yes?
Oh, I have a question now about, well, the fact that something we can't overlook, and this also goes into perhaps why the FDA would only issue a warning about MMS, aka, well, which is actually chlorine dioxide and sodium chloride, because it's in our water. It's used in water purification, and most of us turn on the tap, and that's what we're getting. And we've been telling people to put filters on their shower head or, you know, to have filtered water to get rid of these things these chemicals that are in our water, in, especially fluoride and chlorine. So I would like for both for Dr. Mark and for you, Dr. Gabi, to comment. I know Dr. Mark has talked at long length about the dangers of fluoride, but just about that, about how we need to reduce those, curb those toxins coming into our bodies, including in our water and even in our bath water.
Well, yes, it's very important, very important. The worst place to take in poison is in your water. Well, two worst, water and air, and then in the food. You know, it's very hard to control what we breathe. There's no big air filter we can really use, and so everybody is going to be vulnerable to the increasing radiation. And there's a lot of mercury in the environment from, you know, many, 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 many years of using coal and injecting it, and dentists putting it in people's mouths. So we're just living on a poison planet. And one of the worst places, or the way we see this the most, is in the water. And to make it worse, we have some really crazy people in the world who think, well, it's really, we don't have enough poisons in the environment and people are not exposed to enough. Let's expose them to some more. So they put, you know, fluoride in the water. In Brazil here they do, in the United States they do. And this is an especially important subject right now because of the iodine. The northern hemisphere is being exposed to a lot of radioactive iodine from the Fukushima plants. Now, the fluoride is more toxic in the face of iodine deficiency. When people are weak in iodine, fluoride becomes more toxic. Why? Because it's a very similar element. It's called a halogen, and it very easily can take the place of iodine. Fluoride will just flow into the thyroid gland and take the place of iodine. So people actually in the United States who are being exposed now to radiation have been exposed to fluoride in the face of iodine deficiencies. And Dr. David Brownstein from Detroit area, he's tested 5,000 patients for iodine deficiency and says 95% are iodine deficient. Anybody drinking fluoride will be iodine deficient and fluoride poisoned. So, and now we have radioactive iodine in the environment. If you're just a little bit short on iodine, then you'll just absorb that radioactive stuff like a sponge. So, you know, how do we get out of this thing? I mean, we can't stop the nuclear plant, you know, from putting out this radioactive iodine. We can't stop the coal-fired plants that are upwind of us who are pouring out tons of mercury into the atmosphere. And aspartame, and it just goes on and on and on. We could spend all night talking about all these exposures of poisons. But with water, and it's a whole other subject when we talk about the chlorine, but with the fluoride, we got to stop taking the fluoride because it's poisoning our thyroids. We need to start taking iodine, not MMS. Not MMS, you need to take the iodine, and the iodine will do the job that the MMS people are saying. But to promote MMS and not promote iodine, then you're talking about, I don't know what word to use, fraud or not sure what. But, I mean, the regular medical doctors are doing the same thing. They're suggesting in the face of iodine deficiency, don't take any iodine. In the face of radiation exposure, well, go get your CAT scans and your mammograms and your full, you know, three-dimensional x-rays for your teeth and on and on and on. They're still recommending poisoning you, but we're already poisoned enough, and now in the future, it's a dark future. I mean, just Fukushima. Just that alone. The hand we've been dealt. Forget about the next hand and what's going to happen next week. What if these nuclear plants in North Dakota go underwater. And I mean, we're in a fragile state, our civilization, but we've already taken the nuclear baseball bat and kind of destroyed ourselves a little bit, or a lot. So now the only source is, the only way we can go is purity. And we begin to do that with things like clay, and I think Dr. Ho, later on the show next hour, we'll be talking about that. I saw that on her site.
I'm sure.
I have four chapters on clay in my book. I'll be finishing it Monday, actually. My staff will start producing it, called Nuclear Toxicity Syndrome, 500-page book on this subject, what the problem is and what to do about it. And your question about the water, the place to begin is water purification. And now we not only have to take out the fluoride and the chlorine, but we also have to take out radioactive particles.
Right. And Dr. Mark, you'll love this. We were purchasing some of the you know, they're not very expensive, the little filters to put on water faucets, and you probably already know this, but I was reading the label and it says it'll filter out chlorine, but it leaves in that beneficial fluoride.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. So I just went, oh dear, you know, let's try to find some better filters here. But
yeah. I'm going to be recommending, I'll be publishing probably this week about it. I have a book, one of my last books, I hope it's going to be one of my last books, is on water. And then I think I can retire from writing books for a while. But I'll be recommending reverse osmosis. And you can get a reverse osmosis system for as little as $168. A countertop reverse osmosis system. So that's not so much more expensive than like the cheapest you can buy. I mean, the cheapest filters you can legitimately buy are $100, $120. So to get a sophisticated, you know, reverse osmosis system for $168, I think that's pretty good. So that's going to be my recommendation.
That is excellent. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Gavi, you have something to add about the water, the drinking water, and the water we bathe in, and even you know, swimming in pools. It's been so remarkable to have information from someone who's been at staying at Dr. William J. Ray's clinic, where and you can see why he's so successful with so many of his patients, because he just gets them to remove every possible toxin, you know, from their environment and their homes. And I mean, it is a question, well, shouldn't people just refrain from swimming in chlorinated pools if they're going to be really serious about detoxing and, you know, and getting well, especially for the people who are, their burden of toxins is really overflowing.
I need to interrupt here. We're at the top of the hour where we normally take the break, and we've got a Dr. Mark, I don't know if you're going to be able to stay on. You said you can only go the first hour, so your schedule is.
I'll hang out a bit longer.
Okay, great. Good. Well, we've got Dr. Hilde and Dr. Janet coming on here. So let me take our three-minute break. Everybody can grab a little bit of water and good reverse osmosis water, of course, if you've got it. I do, which I'm so glad Dr. Mark brought that up. So we're just going to take a short break, and everybody's going to be on here. It looks like might have six or seven of us on this second hour. And also, I have invited the gentleman who is promoting advanced oxygen therapy, or MMS, Miracle Mineral Solution, whatever name you're calling it by, Will Spencer. I invited him to call in the second hour, and he will have that opportunity if he wants it. And surely I'm not going to, you know, block his call or play any games. He has as much right to speak as any of us do. So let's see what develops in the second hour. Again, we're adding on Dr. Hildegard Staninger, who is a well-known worldwide toxicologist and also Dr. Janet Hull, a naturopathic health fanatic, as I put it. That's my term. So everybody just hang in there. Just about a three-minute break so we can all get a little glass of water here. I do appreciate all the listeners, and I think the best is to come. Hang in.
Informed, enlightened, alive and amplified. This is the Living Light Network.
Okay, we're back. Second hour, Gulf of Mexico Blue Plague update. We've had first hour with Dr. Gabriela Segura, an MD, who's right now in France, and Dr. Mark Circus, who's down in Brazil, Oriental medicine and such. And we had Delia from Gulf Coast Barefoot Doctors, who have been following pretty much with Dr. Gabi and Dr. Mark, their protocols of natural ways for us to detox. And now we've got on the second hour some toxicologists, as well as being good alternative health nutritionists. And that is Dr. Janet Starhall, who's in Texas. I'll just give you her background so she doesn't have to explain it. She's an alternative health nutritionist. She has a master's degree in environmental science from Texas A&M. She's certified as a basically a first responder for hazard materials through OSHA and such. And her doctorate is in nutrition. So that's with Dr. Janet and also Dr. Hildegard Staninger, who is a world-renowned industrial toxicologist, has pretty much written the book on toxicology when it comes to many different languages that it's in and such. So I think our toxicologist will add a little bit of extra to what we've heard already to explain exactly what it is that, you know, we've got what's going on with this MMS and such. So let me try to get everybody back on here. Dr. Gabi, I've got you back on.
Hello.
And Dr. Janet.
Hello.
Excellent. Gotcha. Hang on a sec. Dr. Hilde.
I'm here.
Wonderful. Wow, we got the whole roster coming. Dr. Mark.
I'm still here.
Okay, so looks like we got everything lined up here. I'm just going over some notes here. Let me ask of both Dr. Janet and of Dr. Hilde, since you just came in and you have your toxicology backgrounds. I've given you ahead of time what this miracle mineral solution is. It's basically this chlorine dioxide combining the two ingredients. Now, as toxicologists, we know that this is used externally and such to, like example, with water plants to kill bacteria and all sorts of toxins and fungus and such for our drinking water, which I'm not too sure that's so great, but MMS, or this oxygen, advanced oxygen therapy, the instructions are basically to take it internally. So explain to the audience, and either one of you jump in and the other follow, explain what is this chlorine dioxide that people are ingesting? What does it do? Give us a toxicology background.
Well, you start, Hilde.
Okay. Chlorine dioxide, if we just look at it from the chemical, because in particular, from what I'm familiar with, the products that you've mentioned, MSM, it is a combination of two different substances, and then you add another substance like vinegar, and you make another, that compound, whatever is advised to drink or to use. But chlorine dioxide, it is known from a hazardous material standpoint as a oxidizer. It must have a label as being an oxidizer and also a poison label. At the same time, this particular compound, when it's combined, It doesn't make oxygen by itself. It's combined in it. And when it needs another part, which is the sodium chlorate or sulfuric acid or methanol, and methanol is a wood alcohol that is known, especially when they were distilling moonshine at the turn of the century during the Depression, a lot of people were going blind from it. Or from sodium chlorate or sulfur dioxide, what happens is you mix those compounds or another compound of a chlorite, like sodium dichlorite, and you mix that, and then it gives off oxygen. It does not mean that whatever in that residue, that mixture, that is left, no more halogens or other types of materials. There would be other compounds present. And that, I think, is all of our concern that we're discussing this, is the residual of other compounds that may be more toxic or combined with exposures, especially heavy environmental exposures that your professionals that were on the first hour of the show experienced in treating patients that were exposed to the air emissions or the water emissions, et cetera, from the Gulf after exposure to the crude oil and its remediation.
Okay, jump in there, Dr. Janet, any time. Anything to add?
You know, what we see with these chemicals that are not found in nature and consumed by any animal in nature, when human beings get into the laboratory and try to concoct something out of a natural element or a natural compound of elements, we have to be very careful with it and very cautious with it. And adding the chlorine and to drinking water because of the sewage and the water treatment issues involved with the drinking water, that is monitored very, very, very carefully, because the more polluted our water gets, the more chloramine and chlorine that we are having to add because it's more and more polluted. That is a concern now as far as its cancer-causing properties in the amounts that are needed to be added now to our water supplies. So we're all very cautious and monitoring very carefully as we increase chlorine into our drinking waters. And to do this, to introduce this as a supplement to be taken by an individual in the body, is, to me, extremely dangerous. Because, one, it needs to be monitored very closely. Two, you need to have a real good health history of this person before they ingest it. And three, we're still questioning the carcinogenic properties of chlorine, industrial chlorine. So what we're looking at here is not a natural chloride. We're looking at a chlorine concoction that has been created to be ingested. And it's just not very well researched. It's not very wise to do this. And I just see a lot of problems with this. And I just don't feel like that this is a very prudent way to remove toxins from the body. Not at all.
Comments? Anybody?
I have a general comment. Years ago, I got involved, this is approximately 25 years ago, with over-chlorination of drinking water in a Florida water treatment facility. And what happened is the houses that were on line to that water at, like, the first house, the second house versus 100 houses down the line, it had too much chlorine in the water. And individual experienced a spontaneous abortion, which basically means that the embryo died, the amniotic sac still grew, and it's results of the effects of the chlorine and thus cutting off the oxygen to the developing embryo at that stage. So what I'm saying is that if that happens with just plain chlorine and the other health rec situations that were expressed, this particular compound, it's very reactive. It's an oxidizer. So if you have other pollution in your body, or you it can react with other compounds in it and make other types of plastics. I've seen individuals, one individual that used this, and it reacted with a thin film advanced nanotechnology that was in their hand and ended up creating hard vinyl chloride. And it was, I mean, it was just like someone surgically put, a soft drink plastic cap in your hand. And it took 4 years for it to come out.
Would I be wrong in saying, I'm no way I'm a chemist or a scientist, so correct me, please, but oil is where plastic comes from. And here around the Gulf, we've got a problem with all these volatile oil compounds, which a lot of them are the ingredients of plastic. So combining this chlorine dioxide with those oil compounds, could we be having a plastic problem? I know that sounds kind of weird, but I don't know how else to describe it. With these compounds combining together, what are we going to get?
You're going to get an organochloride, and Hildy, join in, please. But
organochloride,
not chlorine well.
No matter what the organochloride is, they've been known to be classified as highly carcinogenic, and at the same time, highly reactive. And that's what I think we need to stress here, that the more reactive, stable the compound, the more stable the compound, the less reactive it is. But this is a strong oxidizer, and it can react so fast with these other compounds. You know, meaning like the oil. What I'm saying is, you could make tetrachloride. You could make so many different compounds. I mean, you could make just basically a majority of the compounds listed in the Condensed Chemical Dictionary by Hawley. But the thing is, it's so reactive. This is the unique thing about the compound chlorine dioxide, because it has the two oxygen molecules, and they're both negatively charged. And we heard from the doctor earlier, Dr. Mark, in reference to fluorine. And chlorine's higher up on the scale as a halogen and reactive. So what's going to happen is, you're going to create a lot of activity that way to create a lot of compounds that are going to be more toxic than what we're even talking about.
And we have such an overuse of chlorine anyway, because chlorine is a disinfectant, and we do use it in our public water treatments. And we find it in many foods, such as sucralose products and Splenda products. That's chlorine based. What we are seeing now is such an overuse of chlorine that the accumulation of that is going to affect people's health anyway. So then you voluntarily ingest this chlorine dioxide. It's just way, way too much chlorine for the human body. And chlorine is so extremely active, as Hildy said. It's an extremely friendly element. It will combine with so many things, and it does combine with toxins. But, you know, to use it in a swimming pool or a fish tank or in a water treatment plant is something very different than to be ingesting this on purpose in a very concentrated form inside
and
the human body.
And why is it different, Dr. Hall? It's very important. Is why it's different in those other two areas is that it's usually exposed to the sunlight, which allows it to break down.
Exactly.
And when you're ingesting it, it's absorbed into the stomach. And it'd be like ingesting a cap full of bleach, meaning what happens to you when you do that?
I have a question about.
Yeah.
If I could ask also about one of the effects is on the bacteria. I mean, the way I look at it, and I don't know if this is correct, but ingesting it, it seems like it has sort of a scorched earth policy where it just kills so much. And I'm wondering about the gut bacteria, which we're learning is so very important. And that Dr. Mercola published an article recently about how the gut bacteria affects the behavior. And are you familiar with anything like that? And what, you know, what do we do? I mean, even drinking water, I don't know how much it kills that bacteria if we're drinking tap water, but what kind of effect could that possibly have if, you know, we're not replenishing that? And if we're replenishing probiotics but then drinking MMS, wouldn't it just kill it all again?
Well, it would kill, because it's antimicrobial agent, basically, any chlorine-based compound. But the thing is, and why it's important, as Dr. Mercola brought out in the article or in other studies that have been done, is because you need your natural flora to make your enzymes that then go into making your proteins. One is to rebuild your body at the same time to get the nutrients which you need to be absorbed into the other organs. People don't realize that the toxins that come into the body, just as a whole, its minimum is 35% reabsorbed through the intestinal GI tract back into the circulatory system. Thus, you're spreading it throughout your whole body. If you're able to keep your bacterial flora flourishing, fed, and also proliferating there, the enzymes are being produced that help your DNA and help your body to regulate what natural defense mechanisms, not just immune system, but sending out the right code or the right signal for the cells to talk to each other so that then they can respond properly to the response of healing. I mean, and each GI tract differs, meaning a dog's GI tract differs from a human versus a bat versus any of it. Each one creates different enzymes. That's why, you know, a lot of people eat beef because they need the carnase or any of the other types of enzymes that are in their body.
Well, and you know what's really important too, Heldy, as you were talking about that and with your with the question, is just last week Michael and I were talking about GMO and how GMO genetically modified foods are creating or altering the bacteria and the proteins in the intestines and creating their own. So these GMO foods are getting the intestinal bacteria and the flora out of balance, period. So if you have someone who has been eating GMO foods or is possibly has some IBS or some other health issues, and they ingest something like this chlorine dioxide, they're just going to exacerbate their health problems. So instead of detoxing like they think they are, they're going to be making their health even worse.
Right, and some of those proteins that are used in GMOs, as with other materials, they're not natural occurring proteins or amino acids within our body. So we have a hard time absorbing it, digesting it, and trying to get rid of it. And the body as a whole, and I think this is part of all of the most toxic body fat in the body is the underbelly or the belly fat. And that's because your leaky gut or any of your GI tract could be leaking the toxins, thus your body's going to send in the cholesterol and the triglycerides to bind it together and then compartmentize it. And that's why in a lot of these fat samples they're seeing now that it's hard, it's like brittle fat, because there's other compounds with it or other plastic residues that are now being in, as I call it, in the splice and dice shop. And also,
well,
as mentioned earlier with the flora, the natural flora, none of these chemicals are stopping the possibility, and majority it does happen, of mutating your natural flora by either switching off an enzyme switch within itself so it doesn't respond properly or causing it to mutate so that it will survive or not survive. The thing is, bacterial organisms, their main thing is to survive, meaning a fungus has been with us longer than we have. They always survive. They mutate and survive.
One of the reasons I recommend and always have iodine over MMS is the fact that it does not compromise the flora in the intestines, where, of course, MMS would. And
mm-hmm.
that's a very important thing, besides the fact
that
you need it.
I wondered about that.
The fact
true.
That we
why
need
is
it,
that, Dr. Mark?
Why does it not?
Yes.
Well, I don't think anybody really knows why not. My experience personal experience shows me that it doesn't, and then also some of the iodine doctors like Dr. Brownstein, who has a vast amount of clinical experience with the iodine, also claims that it doesn't. Probably because it's been part of our biological existence forever. I mean, it's an essential thing. We can't live without it. So everything, the whole balance of our biological system, including our host organisms, it's something that's just in harmony with each other, where something like MMS is, you know, something that's coming out of the out of left field. I mean, it's a toxin. And as you ladies pointed out very strongly, this whole issue with chlorine, another halogen, and you know, the whole problem with it being in water and overused and people overexposed to it, we're in a very, very touchy situation with our thyroids, and because of the thyroids and the rest of our biological systems, since the thyroid sets the metabolism. So this is really, we're walking around a very crucial subject for people in the Gulf. They're highly exposed to many heavy metals, chemicals, and now radiation, have a lot of mineral deficiencies, and then people are coming in telling them to take some more chlorine or chlorine type of product, without much evidence for it, and certainly not much experience, since none of us have had experience with tremendous amounts of oil exposure, airborne oil that's been fractured by dispersants, and on and on and on. So it's takes a lot of hubris or arrogance to come in and start recommending something like MMS for a very difficult situation, very toxic situation.
And that's very
true. I would like to ask.
That situation in the Gulf is very toxic. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I would just like to ask for each one of you on the panel to weigh in on something about, I know Dr. Gabi wrote in her article that MMS has no place whatsoever in naturopathic medicine. And this is what seems to have been confused by the people who are promoting it. The person, Will Spencer, I know he calls himself a naturopath and a doctor, but I don't think he really is or has formal training in it. But what's disturbing is to have that being put together with natural, you know, remedies and naturopathic medicine. I contacted the Baton Rouge Advocate to see if they would do a story about this, and my response from the editor said, "Oh, I'm very interested in that, and I want the health reporter to do a story on the dangers of vitamins and supplements." So, and I went, "Oh, you know, what have I done?" And so I'm writing back to him, you know,
you brought awareness,
you know, this
there.
Is a different class. So it becomes political, and I'm thinking, oh, you know, that the pharmaceutical industry will just love that because that's what they want, you know, in trying to bring in Codex Alimentarius. And I'm going, you know, so if you could maybe each weigh in on that, you know, in some way or another. I think a lot of the listeners don't know what even Codex Alimentarius is, and just the danger in putting those together.
Well, and tie that in with the Obama's this healthcare thing that I believe the House had passed part of it already or whatever, but it includes that as well. And I'm going to go out on a limb. This is not my opinion. It's just a question. I wonder if perhaps this product, since it's a toxic poison, is being used as a setup for them to go ahead and push through the same thing that they just did in Europe. It's a question more than anything. So everybody chime in here.
Well, Michael, I think, you know, as an educator, which we all are educators, I think that's a very good point for us to explore further. With the EU, European Union, passing their regulations on natural supplements and herbal remedies. And now with, I think it's on page 800 of this health bill that's in front of the Senate and Congress now, which will threaten our freedom for having natural supplements and natural remedies. It, to me, the education on all of this, it doesn't make sense that something this blatantly out in left field, this chlorine dioxide, which most scientists are going to know, are you kidding me? You're not going to ingest this, you know, what? To have this go so far as it's already gone before it has been stopped, it just sort of is suspicious to me. It's coming in right at the heels of a world political decision on the freedom of supplements and herbal remedies, and then you get something like this that is so out there, and it hasn't been stopped yet. So it, to me, it didn't make sense, and it just sort of seems a little fishy. The timing of it is something I wish that we would look into a little bit further on who's really behind all this, you know?
That's a dangerous question you're asking.
Yeah, but you know what? I think we have to ask them, because if we don't, we're going to wake up one morning and find that all of this has gone way too far, you know? Sort of like aspartame. It's gone way too far. Now we can't stop it.
Well, that's a good point to bring up. Thank you, Janet, because I wanted to say that in your introduction. You, of all the panelists, you've written a book about aspartame and such because you were poisoned by it. And I saw the parallel,
right.
And we spoke about this yesterday very briefly. Your book, Sweet Poison, was your own personal teaching yourself how to deal with a chemical poison. And would you say there's any difference between what you went through and learned how to detox yourself naturally? Is there any difference between that aspartame and the Splenda or whatever name they're going to throw on it and chlorine dioxide? Aren't they just poisons to have the same result? Don't they destroy in the long term?
Yes, and in my personal opinion, in my professional opinion, absolutely. Methanol is found in nature, but it's not found in the same it's in the same form as made from a laboratory and inserted into colas. Same thing with chlorine. Chlorine is a natural element, but it's always combined in some form or fashion with something in nature to form a chloride or a chlorate, and we don't ingest pure chlorine, not naturally. So what's happening is that these elements are being concocted in a laboratory, twisted around, and presented as quote-unquote natural because they're found in nature, but they're not found in nature in that same form that's being pushed in products, and people are getting sick of it, sick because of it. And that needs to be taken very, very, very seriously. The education of this is not being put in the forefront, and people don't understand it. They don't know anything about it. And so they're somewhat vulnerable to paying attention to what other advertisements, their medical practitioner, whoever. But people really don't know what's going on, and they really don't know what they're consuming.
Mm-hmm. Well, in all defense, one of the things that the people behind MMS say is, the FDA put a warning out about a miracle mineral solution, but then the FDA turns around and allows things like aspartame and Splenda and things like that,
mm-hmm.
which, okay, that is a point. That's true. If we're going to rely on the FDA, we might as well forget it. But we can rely on common sense, can't we?
it's black and white thinking, I want to say. It's like, you know.
But as you said earlier, this becomes a political issue. And once it becomes a political issue and it leaves the realms of good medicine and it leaves the realms of good education and good communication and then it becomes a political issue, we're looking at an entirely different beast. It's sort of like the issue morphs and it becomes a very, very toxic issue.
Dr. Hilde, what is the basic, and I've been through this with Janet and I'm still trying to look at my notes. What is the difference when somebody's talking about something that ends in IDE, like chloride, and what was it again, Janet? It's IDE, and how's the other ending with the chemical?
Yeah, the IDEs versus the INEs.
INE, that was it. So what's the difference between a chlorine or a chloride?
Well, it's usually how many molecules of chlorine. Like, I'll give you an example. Chlorine monoxide, which would be Cl2 with one oxygen, versus your chlorine dioxide has one chlorine and two oxygen molecules.
Mm-hmm. So what does that translate to
the chlorine has two binding sites, okay? So what it means is whatever the other component is with it, the enes, the ites, the ates, ITEs versus ATEs, et cetera, is the position of where it's going to be on the chlorine molecule. It's just a rule of thumb of associating how many other elements are attached to it, meaning you could have four binding sites on a carbon molecule, and thus how many of it will bind to a chlorine.
Okay, where does it find in the example of this with this MMS, this chlorine dioxide, where does it find the other elements that you just said? Does it have to get them from other cells within our body if we ingest it?
Right, it gets them from the other cells, or it's okay, like the chlorine dioxide, because it's got one chlorine molecule, but it's bound, it usually forms in two elements, two molecules, and it's bound with the oxygen, the O2. The oxygen has a negative charge, and it's very reactive. That's why they listed it as an oxidizer, because it's ready to give up that oxygen, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing is, so if you don't have something to it binds to your membrane or to what other element is there, okay?
Dr. Janet, Dr. Mark, Dr. Gabi, do you agree? Is that how it works?
I want to just point out about the same lines. You know, there is a compound, a chlorine compound, that our body produces naturally. It's actually our white blood cells. They produce hypochlorous acid, and is an example of a reactive oxygen species, and they use it, like, you know, to kill bugs. It was commercialized as MMS2. You know, MMS2 was meant to be this same product on a higher dose. But the problem is that the amount of this hypochlorous acid that our body produces is already enough to create, you know, damage to our DNA, to our bodies. And this is very well researched, because, you know, it's a compound of our bodies. That's why it's so well researched. And, I find out a lot about this element, and that basically it chlorinates DNA, welding blocks. It breaks the DNA double helix apart and interferes with its biological functions. And it's basically an example of, how reactive these compounds can be within our bodies.
Right, and it's kept at check within the body of the cytoplasma at its proportional, and it's usually in the concentration of it, is because it also has an interreaction with our trace minerals, which is the salt within the cytoplasma of the cell. And then there's the other component of how it reacts, because different cytoplasm has different colors. The whole thing is, it's a very good point that you brought out, that it's naturally contained into the body, just as chlorine is naturally contained in the nerve channel, where you have four different channels. But it's contained, and it's a proportional to the design of the body. And as we know, that anything that is over, and sometimes you use homeopathics to balance out the need of the different elements that you need at that time.
Yeah.
Well,
what about the sodium?
Hmm?
What
about the sodium? The sodium molecule that's in the sodium chlorite? And what happens to that, that sodium molecule, after it's mixed with the chlorine dioxide?
Does it just form a compound with something else?
It's the sodium chloride, which is combined with vinegar or citric acid that, you know, that makes the chlorine dioxide, right?
Right.
Correct, yeah.
And right. Is that harmful at all? What happens to that sodium? Because it,
well,
seems...
it might even make sodium chloride salt.
Probably.
So you might have a higher incidence of salt within the body.
Okay.
Well, think about what it's going to do to the body pH. It's going to just drive it straight down. It's going to make the body so acidic.
Mm. And I'm certainly not for that.
Well, what would be the effects of that if your body is too acidic just from that reaction or that happening? What does that mean? What would that do to us?
Well, just like your other guest mentioned earlier, the natural flora will die in overgrowth of the bad mutated flora.
Hmm. Well, and an acid environment is where your diseases will breed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. And the body
but
will
it's
have
definitely going to alter your body pH. There's no question about that. Whether it drives it alkaline or acidic in the long run, Hildy, wouldn't you say it would start off highly acidic and then wind up highly alkaline?
Right, because your body's going to be stimulating all your digestive enzymes and your pancreatic enzymes trying to neutralize that type of reaction. And at the same time, being these molecules, because it's absorbing in the stomach after ingestion or anything, it's also increasing. It's like with chlorine in a pool. The more people swim in chlorine or have chlorine, the higher the risk of diseases like cancer, et cetera, which synergistically works with whatever your viral load is, whatever chemicals you have in it, as either to promote it or induce it or to have it expressed. And it's just mm-hmm. like was mentioned earlier by the other panelist, and I apologize to all of y'all because I'm one who has to write down their names and remember them. So I apologize, and I feel very honored to be here. The thing is that the first thing that can go crazy within the DNA to make any kind of mechanism of the diseases as brought out is being kept in check with the enzyme that was mentioned earlier, but it can cause the DNA polymerase to go rampant, and then you can program your body to make a disease when it didn't have it, and the compounds that make that happen the fastest are the halogens. We've seen this with fluoride. The one that keeps it in check is the iodine, but the chlorine and the fluorine are the worst. And also, none of us have approached it that, you know, if this is breaking up in the body and possibly making gases, which can include at a small amount like chlorine monoxide or carbon monoxide or any of that, because the carbon would come from our own body or the outgassing of the dead bacteria. But chlorine monoxide, you know, in industry it's made with the use of mercury and chlorine. So a lot of us have fillings or heavy metal exposure. So that's another wild card with any of these reactions with halogens.
That's a big one because we all expose mercury toxicity, whether we like it or not. Yeah.
Right, and one is crude oil, but also in commercial gasoline or anything, they were using years ago mercury to stabilize the vapor so it wouldn't be as flammable. And as we stated earlier on this discussion, when you're dealing with crude oil spills and then whatever was used in the remediation, it's mixing with what's going on in the environment and everything, these individuals that possibly can consume anything that has a chlorine base is highly more reactive than, say, someone who has never been exposed to the area over that way.
I wanted to ask you something. One of the proponents of MMS, Adam Abraham, he's always on the ball whenever anybody says anything against MMS. Well, I watched a video that he made after we exposed advanced oxygen therapy is actually MMS. Well, at the conclusion of his video, he explains how it works, and it uses how sodium chloride and chlorine dioxide work.
And he says that it uses anthrax as an example. And he says that anthrax, you put chlorine dioxide with anthrax, and it goes poof, and there's nothing left. And I couldn't help but laugh because I thought, you know, I haven't had much chemistry, but I never remembered poof being part of chemical processes. But and he just says it's why, he says. He says it's not magic, but he just says there's nothing left. So I
vaporizes.
Well, what does that mean?
It's a strong oxidizer, and it probably, the anthrax spore probably exploded. That's maybe what his interpretation of poof is. And I know that chlorine dioxide and some other compounds like that were used in treatment for anthrax, et cetera. Because anthrax has a very high lifespan, especially was seen with exposures, you know, during the test sites of anthrax during World War II in England. And at that time, the antidote for anthrax exposure was black tea with milk, because they found that it killed it.
But is that,
well, you know,
in vitro or in the body, or you know, in is there any residue from the chlorine dioxide? Do all the molecules go poof as well?
No. That's with any type of exposure, even with our natural flora and the die-off or virus. I get so many cases of viral residue from individuals that had chickenpox when they were children, but they did not have it full-blown on the outside of the skin. Instead, it went internally into the nerve GI tract, and that I think they'll see a lot of connection with viral exposure with irritable bowel or any of, along that line.
Okay, we've only got...
Right, Helene?
I'm sorry, we've only got about 10 minutes left, and we got five of you on here, so I just want everybody to have a couple minutes of a conclusion, and I'm going to ask the big question. We'll start with Dr. Mark, and the same question for everybody. A couple minutes, answer this question. Would you personally, and in your professional capacity, deliberately take chlorine dioxide by swallowing it, and why would you not take it if you wouldn't? Dr. Mark, you're up.
Absolutely not. Just smelling it would make me sick. I probably would throw up. I haven't thrown up in probably 50 years, and I have no desire to do that. And then just for rational medical reasons, there are so many more helpful things, and that's the point I'd like to make before going, is that one of the things I have against these MMS people is they only promote MMS. Like, this is the answer, this is the miracle. That's a lot of garbage, actually, and I don't believe in any one particular substance, but there are many substances that are fantastic, and I'd like to tell a little story quick about one that I read today that made me cry. It was a two-year-old with cancer. Doctors gave him up, gave him the most aggressive chemotherapy, destroyed him. He stopped eating for 40 days. And what did the father do? He didn't give MMS. He gave, in the intravenous line, he gave medical marijuana. He gave THC, the oil, the hemp oil. The child is now 3 years old, alive, eating, and doing very well. And that was a miracle. That was something natural. And it was very interesting. The article that was written up, the doctors who were commenting about it were concerned of how a parent wouldn't trust their doctor and wouldn't inform them what they were doing. And that brings us full circle. The whole thing, the religion about MMS, about taking care of ourselves, I agree with that. I think we have to step out of the paradigm of the medical officials from the United States government and all the governments in the world, and this codex. You know, these people have, you know, are out, not out for our own good. So yes, we need to use things. We need to make our own decisions. But I would think we could choose things like sodium bicarbonate much more frequently, or iodine, than MMS.
And it's cheaper. Dr. Mark, I appreciate your taking the time. I know you have a three-year-old that has a birthday party.
Yeah.
So thank you for staying on with us, and always appreciate it. I think this is our third time together. Thank you again. Your common sense is always appreciated. Absolutely. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, and thank you, ladies. It's been a pleasure
being
here with you.
Thank you, Dr. Mark.
Thank you.
Gotcha. Bye-bye.
Okay, next, Dr. Gabriela Segura. Same question to you.
I will not take MMS. I know it's by products create more havoc in the long term. People have died taking MMS. There are actually, you know, a case described in the web. The death certificate specifically said the cause of death was the MMS. My friend got extremely sick after taking it. I have research about it. I know it's very hazardous. And the importance of healing, you know, when we have when we're in a toxic state, it comes from reinforcing the body's defenses, detoxifying from toxic chemicals, and providing necessary raw nutrients and elements, natural elements that the body can use to balance itself and heal itself. I have dealt with very difficult diseases, infections, and all with natural therapies, reinforcing exactly, you know, what I've just said. And there's no need for using more poison, enough of poisons. I think, for me, the most important thing comes from a good diet.
Okay. Well, I guess you're not going for it either. So far, we got two out of four that that don't want to take chlorine dioxide. I wonder why. Dr. Gabi, thank you again. You know, I've always asked you, as apparently all the guests today, on short notice, when something comes up that I feel is very important, you, as everybody else, has always come to bat, and your experience and your expertise is always fantastic. You've done so much to help us with so many things here along the Gulf with Gulf Coast Barefoot Doctors and to make people aware of what's going on. So thank you for taking out your Friday night when you could be out on the town in France where you are in Toulouse, and for taking the time to do this. I appreciate it so very much. Thanks.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, have a great weekend.
Nice weekend too. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, well, next, now we're going to, I'll just be random. There's only two of you left. How about Dr. Hilde? You're top on the list on the switchboard here. So,
okay,
same question
okay.
to you. Would you take it?
My response would be for your first question, would I take it? No. Would I use it with my patients? No. And especially with the types of radiation that we're all experiencing globally, I would be very concerned of its reaction with the potassium chloride within our own body, meaning the chlorine, and creating with the radiation chlorine 36, which has a half-life of 440,000 years. So definitely mutations would occur. So I would definitely vote no. Thank you.
Well, you had such a quick answer. That gives us a couple extra minutes because I've got a question.
You've got to get Dr. Hall's answer.
Oh, well, no, she's going to get hers in. Don't worry. She'll get in there. Just real quick, the two of you, before we go any further, what kind of long-term effects do you think we're looking at? See, we only have a couple years of knowing of people ingesting chlorine dioxide, so we don't really have any case studies, so to speak. Dr. Hilde, what do you think, you know, knowing toxicology, what do you think long-term effects down the road, like 5 or 10 years, would be? Are they going to be good?
Usually with a chlorine exposure, period, versus deoxychlor, you would have increased tumors, increased neurological problems, cancers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not looking good. Of course,
yeah.
You know, we're going to
have
the
more polluted those individuals are, the faster, because it will only accelerate it. That's all.
Oh, and that's an important point. We've got enough.
And we already have an acceleration factor, which has globally affected us. We've all stated that too. Is the radiation, which we've had since March. We've also the people that live in the Gulf and that whole area, the fish, everything. That is a mega dose of pollution in that mixture,
yes.
That crude oil.
It was an oil cesspool before last year with BP, and it's a worse one now.
Right. And no one's even talking, which is another show, is in reference to the remediation, artificial materials, et cetera. That's a whole other thing. But what I'm saying is it's compounded more when you add a chlorine-based compound.
Understood.
Especially that is oxidizing, because it's going to give the oxygen to the other compounds to make other things. So we'll give Dr. Hull now time.
Okay. I'm just going to keep both of you on, so I can get in here. Dr. Hilde, as always, thanks for coming to bat at last minute, just like I said with Dr. Gobby. You guys are great. Dr. Janet, you got about a minute and a half.
Well, no, I would definitely not use it. I would stay away from that at any cost. And if someone feels like they have the need to use it, I would just tell them, then just go out there and drink from your swimming pool. And they wouldn't do that. So if you wouldn't drink from your swimming pool, I couldn't imagine that you would want to ingest, this chlorine dioxide. As everyone has said, Michael, we have so many toxins coming at us right now. We're saturated with toxins in our environment and in our foods, in our water, in our soil, in our oceans, in our air. And to introduce yet another toxin into the body to try to remove toxins in the body just absolutely defies common sense. And I think that people need to just get their common sense back. They need to do their research and find out what exactly it is that they are taking before they consider using it. And I think that they need to minimize the number of chemicals going in their body and try to go back to a more natural detoxification program that all other animals on Earth do. And bottom line, that's it.
Okay. Well, we're right at the end of time, so that's perfect. Again, thank you to both of you, Dr. Janet, Dr. Hilde, and Dr. Gobby, and Dr. Mark, all of you. I think this was probably the most productive radio show I've ever done because the facts came out. I like to see people argue what all of you said because I just can't see where anybody could. So thank you all of you again. And, it's always interesting on Fridays. Gulf Blue Plague updates. I'd rather have the subjects nobody else wants to talk about and get the truth out than play the status quo game. And that's just the way I am. So I will be repeating this entire 2 hours on Sunday. I'm not going to have the roundtable for the Gulf that we've been doing on Sundays. This will be repeated on Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. As I close every show, please be who you were created to be, and God bless.
Informed, enlightened, alive and amplified. This is the Living Light Network.